Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 21. We'll be reading verses 18 and 19. Now let's stand together, the book of John chapter 21, verses 18 and 19. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, this is Jesus talking to Peter, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words we have just read and for the words that we will read. We thank you, Lord, for the testimony of Peter. And though, Lord, he struggled, he served thee faithfully. May we serve you faithfully all the days of our life. Be with those of our number who are going through illnesses and sicknesses. We pray, Lord, your will be done. And for those who may be here with other burdens upon their heart, Lord, please give them peace and comfort and direction. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. As we finished our lessons in the book of John, we concluded with the Lord's admonition to Peter, follow me. The same admonition is given to you and to me, to follow him. If Forashotis could come back today, and as it says in the bulletin, he passed away this past Tuesday, and if he could just say two words, if the Lord would allow him to come back and just for a moment say two words, they may be, follow Jesus, follow him. I remember much about Forrest. I remember he was our tenor for a long time. And there were others that sang with them tenor here in the choir loft, including my wife. And we appreciated him. He had been a trustee on a number of occasions. He was one of the first to go with us to the men's conferences, both in Mansfield, Ohio, and then up there at Faith of Davison. And I don't know if you know this, but at times he would come to me and he would say, Pastor, he said, if there's some people that want to go to the men's conference that can't pay for it, you let me know, I'll take care of it for them. He says, but don't tell anybody. Well, he's gone, and I'm telling you now. But we'll miss him. But someday we'll see him again. What a day that will be. But if you would, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be reading at verse 1. Follow me. And Peter did. And Peter would write this epistle under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to do six things. To encourage. May I say this, as believers, we need to be encouraged on a regular basis. Well, okay, I need to be encouraged on a regular basis. If I were to raise my hand and say, I need to be encouraged on a regular basis, I wonder how many of you will be brave enough to raise your hand also. We need to be encouraged, don't we? We are in a daily fight. He wrote it to exhort us. Folks, it was not easy to be a Christian, to be a believer in those early days. And he probably wrote this book around 60 AD. He wrote it to strengthen us. You know, it's good to read the epistles. They strengthen us for the battle. He wrote it to instruct us. Some people I know receive learning different than other people. Some people can read something and they can pick it up immediately. Others people can just simply look at something and figure out. I need to watch something being done. Because when I watch something being done, it seems to be teach me. And we all receive instruction different ways. But you know, somebody's watching you. Did you catch what I said? Somebody is watching you. Someone in our church is watching you right now. They want to see what type of an example you've been. You that have been here for a long time, people look and say they've been in church for a long time. They're watching you. So you are instructing them. You have family members that you have people watching. We that are grandparents. I think it was Mr. Lee that said that if he knew grandkids were so good, he'd have had them first. Some of you will catch that later on. Don't call me when you do. But your grandkids are watching you. People at work are watching you. Your neighbors are watching you. We are instructing people by our actions because actions speak louder than words. He wrote it to influence, especially the new believers. See, new believers need to be encouraged and exhorted, and strengthened to stay in the battle because new believers can quickly become disappointed and frustrated. He wrote it to promote the Christian faith, knowing the cost and the willingness to pay it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. You been there lately? I didn't think so. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification or separation of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Remember, you always have to have the grace of the Lord before you can have the peace of the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, do you like those words? Not just mercy, but abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. Brother Schultes knows what that inheritance is all about now. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Folks, we don't keep ourselves saved. We are saved by the power of our Lord. We are saved through his shed blood and we're kept saved. Verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. That the trial of your faith, notice it makes it clear there will be trials of your faith. Not if, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with what? Joy unspeakable. Didn't we just sing that? That wasn't by accident, folks. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I asked, I think it was last Sunday night or a while back when I finished the book of John where I should go. And the new lawyer said I had to go to 1 Peter. And he was so convincing. I decided I'd go to 1 Peter. It just seemed like a logical step. Of the original 12 apostles, three were chosen to write inspired New Testament books or epistles: Matthew, John, and Peter. In his two epistles, Peter continues to fulfill Christ's commandment to feed a sheep as he writes encouraging words. Interestingly, Peter's name appears 210 times in the New Testament. Paul's name is found 162 times, and the names of the remaining 11 apostles combined appear 142 times. Now you say, Pastor Paul, did you read the whole New Testament this past week and count that? I did not. But apparently Williamton has, and so I just took down what he said. But John is classified as the apostle of love. Paul could be classified as the apostle of faith, but Peter has been called the apostle of hope. Do you have hope in the Lord today? That wasn't very reassuring. Do you have hope in the Lord today? I hope that you do. The key word in 1 Peter is suffering. It, or its equivalent, is used 16 times. Six times it speaks of Christ's suffering, and 10 times that of the believers. Grace is referred to 8 times. Suffering. Most of us don't want to suffer, do we? We don't want to suffer for the cause of Christ, but we may be called to suffer for the cause of Christ. It may cost us something to serve him. Are you prepared? Are you ready? This epistle was probably written near the end of his life, somewhere between 60 AD and 64 AD. And it's thought that after this epistle, he was arrested and tried. And then between his trial and execution, he wrote 2 Peter. Verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Would you agree that everyone that knows Jesus Christ as their Savior should be a follower of Christ? Should it be a part-time following? Full-time. Full-time. We need full-time Christians. We need full-time believers. We need those who are willing to stand up for the Lord. We need those who, when they are on their Facebook pages, they are honoring the Lord. If they're sending out a text or an email, that they are honoring the Lord. I think we need people who keep their language proper, that they keep their attitudes proper, that they keep their actions proper. But this is written to the strangers scattered throughout, and we named the cities earlier. A stranger is an alien, an outsider, often not to be trusted, looked on with suspicion. You want people to look at you suspiciously? Walk down the street, Canal Road, Hall Road, Van Dyke, they're wondering, why isn't that person driving? And they look at you suspiciously. And don't be surprised how the believers in Christ are treated. We have gone through a long period of time where in America, Christians were looked on as something as special. Today, we are looked on with suspicion. We are looked on as being bigots, intolerant. We are looked on as killjoys. Does that mean we shouldn't walk as Christians? No, we still need to stand up for the Lord. Because may I say this, whatever we're going through now, those early disciples went through much harder things than what we're going through. And they made it. And it was counted for joy when they could suffer for the Lord. Take your Bibles and quickly turn to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 through 5. This having to retrain my thoughts when I ask you to turn to a scripture and give verses at the same time, it'll get to where it's natural. If I flub the dub once in a while, don't throw your cell phones at me. But Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were what? Dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." Underline that. Prince of the power of what? The air. What is our texting and social media going through? The air. Be careful. Satan wants to be used wrongly, but we should want to use it properly. Verse 3, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God," don't you love those two words? This is the way you were, "but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you're saved." We are saved by faith because of the grace of the Lord. For it says in verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I'd like to read you a mission letter from the Bergs, missionaries to the Lakota Indians out in the Dakotas. He writes, "I had never noticed this house tucked behind a few trees lying downhill along the road, unseen by the occasional truck or car passing through, going somewhere, anywhere but here. I had just been up to the top of a hill nearby where an old church building had been moved many years ago. It stands as still and quiet and empty of life as the small cemetery that lies behind it, only interrupted by the occasional whispered voices of grass replying to the wind. When I came back down this twisting, guttered gravel road, trailed by a cloud of dust, I noticed the little blue house surrounded by twisted cottonwoods and leafless shrubbery. As I cautiously approached the house, I saw the typical sights of reservation life. Bronzed little toddlers and children running around the yard in various states of dress and play. The house stood there with the door ajar, and next to it a young man somewhere in his teens. Around the house were the various memorials to American materialism in different states of weathering, decay, and general neglect. As I approached the young man, I saw the slightest movement of his head and a less than interested look. I introduced myself and asked about his family, where they were from, and if he knew various people from the community where he grew up in Farmily. I shared the gospel with him, warning him of judgment and telling him how the judge had paid his sin debt many years before, forsaken and bleeding on a rough cross. While we spoke, I noticed a girl sitting in the kitchen behind the screen of an open window. She was thoroughly unimpressed and very difficult to engage, even in small talk. Here was a young woman, maybe in her late teens, who has experienced most of the pleasures and sinful snares of reservation life. By her expression, or lack thereof, she vividly demonstrates the complete hopelessness and emptiness of a life lived for sinful pleasure. Here is a young woman barely beginning her life, and yet when I looked in her eyes, I saw no signs of life. She dwells beyond the realm of hopelessness in a desert place choked with ash called apathy. The three communities of Farmalee, Hedog, how'd you like to live in Hedog? Hedog and Upper Cut Meat. Well, I think I'd rather live in Hedog than Upper Cut Meat. They have a population far smaller than those who daily walk the hallways of the mall in your town. There are less than 800 people in these three communities combined. But many of those 800 people are just like this teenage girl. Many are so worn out from sin that they are at the point of apathy, even at such a young age. They have heard the empty words of religion, both from the lips of non-natives and natives alike. They need Christ, but they don't want him. They need to be saved, but they don't want to forsake the very sin that has ruined them. Only God's Spirit can move the hearts of these who have been bloodied and torn by the teeth and claws of that roaring lion. The answer is God. God working in Native people so that he can work through Native people to Native people. New paragraph. In the same community of Upper Cut Meat, I knocked on the door of a young man, and his name is Travis. I asked him about his family and realized that I knew his dad, Keith, and his uncle, Hank. They used to come to church in St. Francis, sometimes sober, many times not. Hank hung himself a few years ago. Another friend I lost to alcohol. He mentioned recently that he had been in jail with his dad. What childhood memories. I started to talk to him about the Bible, and he stopped me and said, "Do you think that God sent you here?" He told me that he'd been asking God for help. In a few moments, he bowed his head and expressed words of repentance and faith. I came back a few days later and he was gone, sitting in jail from drinking. His girlfriend said that when I left, he came in the house crying and telling her what had happened. She said, "I had never seen anybody touch his heart like that." I pray that it was God who touched his heart and not me. I went back again a few days later and sat with him in the van and shared a few scriptures with him. Several of his cousins came to the front door, and one in particular looked our way with a smirk on his face. He is going to have a tough time staying away from trouble and the bottle. I made an appointment to come back and see him the next day. As I was getting near the community, I noticed the police car leaving. When I stopped in front of his house, I saw him peek out of the window, and I thought to myself, he is going to hide from me. Thus, I was surprised when he came out and got in the van. I would say that 98% of the times those commitments are not kept, so forgive me my skepticism. He told me that the cops had just left. Apparently, two of his cousins wanted him to go walking by the creek. On the way back, they got into a fight and the cops were called. When they asked him to go, he told them he had an appointment that he couldn't break. Now, that may seem like a minor thing anywhere else, but it is a major victory here in the devil's playground, especially for a brand new believer. Please pray for Travis, that he would take advantage of his spiritual armor and sword. He has entered the fight of his life. And then Brother Berg says, "Thank you so much for standing behind us and holding up our hands." Folks, we live in a day and age in which we need to be encouraged to remain strong in our faith. Peter here is encouraging the men and women who have found faith in the Lord to remain accountable. How are you handling your Christian walk today? That the trial of your faith Verse 7, verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Shall we stand together? Number 17 is our song of invitation. I said that you are being watched. How is your image today? Are you a testimony of the Lord? As we sing the songs, maybe you'd like to come forward and just pray, asking the Lord to give you strength to do that which is right. And if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, we'd be more than glad to show you from the Word of God what needs to be done. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. And thank you, Lord, for these few words that we read from this epistle written so many years ago to help us in our daily walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.